702.
Nola knows.
Time for Wendy Nola. Happy Thursday, Wendy. How are you?
Hello, Rilbashile. I'm fine. Good to be with you again, as always.
Are your Easter eggs waiting for you?
The kids' Easter eggs are waiting. I'm a strange one. I'm not all that into chocolate, I have to say.
I'm the same as you. I'm the same as you.
Really, doesn't rock my boat too much.
I mean, once in a while, I'm not a chocolate person, but I was wondering maybe if there are eggs made out of gold that people could give us for Easter.
Well, that's nice.
All right, let's jump into it. This lunchbox shaming, mind you, I'm those moms when I was pregnant. I was on Pinterest looking at these amazing lunchboxes that some moms make, and I had a good sob that I might become a terrible mother because I don't know when I'd have the time to make these special lunchboxes. So let's talk lunchbox gate.
So, yes, exactly. So, lunchbox shaming, lunchbox talk is the new breastfeeding versus formula feeding, according to an article that I found earlier. It was published in The Spinoff, which is a New Zealand publication. The writer said, it's co-sleeping versus sleep training. It's more controversial than would it be weird if I put my kid on a lead? It makes people lose their minds more than should children be allowed to even exist while I'm eating food in a cafe or any other discussion.
The answer is no to all
education.
Of them. The answer is no.
Go down that rabbit hole. Okay. So, I remember when my kids were in at a preschool, and the principal would send us letters. She was fairly insistent that we didn't put sweets and chocolates and chips and other sort of junk food in our kids' lunch boxes, but rather foods that were lowish in sugar and fairly nutritious, right? Terribly productive, and I don't remember ever being a note saying your child's lunchbox is not acceptable, try harder. And I did try hard to, as a working mom who did my own, did my kids' lunchboxes myself every day, I did try hard. I remember doing homemade popcorn. That was my thing. And, you know, fruit, veg, that kind of thing. But I recently got an email from a mom of a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old who attend a preschool, a private preschool, which takes a far stricter, I would say, extreme approach to some things. I'm not naming the mom or the school. She's only just now, while I was waiting to come on air, she actually did name the school. I thought she was too frightened to, in case I caused a lot of drama for her. But she says, please don't mention the name in your talk today in case it leads to litigation matter.
Yes.
So I will be taking it up later. But until a few minutes ago, I didn't even know the name of the school. But so where was I? Yes, the school, she has her email. Our kids' private preschool has asked us to remove our children from the school if we cannot comply with or are unhappy with their lunchbox policy. They sent out a list of suggestions which included providing grilled chicken instead of crumbed chicken products. The school fees do not include meals. Can a school force you to only send what they approve for a school lunch? The rest of our lunch boxes comply except the crumbed items. She sent me photos. There were bits of grapes and some carrot and, you know, all good things and some unsweetened little sort of wafer biscuits and that kind of thing. It turns out that sometimes she does her own crumbed chicken and sometimes she buys Simply Chicken products, so burgers and which she cuts up strips and they're pops. They call them pops.
Yes.
But so they say they cannot differentiate between homemade and store-bought. So they have decided all crumbed items are forbidden, not allowed. Please advise. So I asked her a lot more questions. We had several exchanges by email. And I got to see the letter that the school sent out. And it went like this. Please see the attached list of nutritious lunchbox options for the school child. Items recommended by a dietitian and by the Department of Education. Recommended being the key word.
Also, so the other key word being these are options. It didn't say compulsory
options,
items.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Exactly. And the Department of Education actually went onto the website and I had a look, and they also options that they state there, and it's not a obviously there can't be legislation around this, right? So unprocessed meats, natural grilled chicken pieces, boiled eggs, minced meat, chickpeas, beans, and lentils. Now, I mean, 2 and 4 years old. Brown bread with a healthy filling, clarified. Wraps, pitas, mini quiches, rice cakes, pravitas, rye vitas, baked potatoes, green millies, homemade popcorn, cheese wedges. Come back to that in a moment. Safari dried fruit, even the brand there. Mm-hmm. Biltong, yogurt, cheese, all fruit and veggies, add a dip. Avocado, I mean, avocado in a lunchbox, even an adult's one, is going to look a bit sad a few hours on. I mean, if it's already cut up, at least the little ones must peel their own avocado, I'm not sure. Peanut butter, nuts, raisins, cranberries, date balls. Okay. So my first thought in reading that was, okay, we can't have any processed forms of chicken, but cheese wedges, that is a highly processed form of cheese.
Also, can I make note, Wendy, is that if anyone's listening and is not a parent, there are rules that have come into schools about things not to include because of allergies. And these are the more common items, like things like nuts, which are perfectly reasonable. Many kids are allergic to certain things and then they only discover at school. So it's not abnormal for a school to say, please don't include X, Y, and Z in the lunchbox. But in this particular
case, especially small kids.
Yes. What makes this case unusual?
So what makes us, first of all, I just want to comment yogurts. I mean, if we're going to be strict about nutritional content, some of them are actually called dairy snacks because they've reduced the amount of milk in there and out of protein to save money. And that's fairly high in, you can get it in a caramel and all the rest. You can have that, but you can't have, a simply chicken steaklet or whatever, or a piece of chicken that you've crumbed and fried yourself for your child. But it gets better. They have, as many schools do, on a certain day, Hot Dog Friday, and then the kids are given, they're allowed simply chicken Vienna in a roll.
Yes.
So it's allowed on, and then it's called a treat, which is a whole nother argument, because now you're saying that the unhealthy stuff is actually a treat. So, I mean, it's quite weird messaging for the children. Anyway, the mom in her email continued, in my appeal, so she took this to the governing body, and she sent me photos of her lunchbox. I mean, this was balanced, you know, really respectable, healthy lunchbox, appropriate, nutrition appropriate lunch. In my appeal to the governing body, I was told that the governing body had unilaterally agreed on this lunchbox policy and that it will not change, nor will exceptions be made for certain children and not others. I said that I would accept recommendations, but I would supply my children at my discretion with time, budget, and children palate-friendly options. And they, in return, told me that it's not up for discussion. By registering with the school, I accepted this policy, and if I'm unhappy with it and cannot comply, I must just move my kids to a school that would allow me, as they put it, to feed my child what I want.
Okay, so, we need to pause it there to take a breath. Literally take a after all of that, right? Because it sounds like, when do we need to go gather at the Constitutional Court? We're going to take a quick break. We're still with Wendy Nola to hear the rest of Lunchbox Gate.
702.
Nola knows.
21 minutes after 2 o'clock, we are with Wendy Nola, and we've been chatting about a mother who wrote to Wendy with a issue that she was having with the school her children are going to, where the Department of Education and a dietitian have food recommendations that they have included on their list, but there was an issue with crumbed chicken, which is not on the list, where they are recommending grilled chicken. We take your calls, 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line 0727021702. So she sent a letter through to the school, Wendy. What happened? She got a response from the governing body saying, if you don't like the rules, then
take it or literally take it or leave with your children.
Yes.
We're not, if you still want to put your crumb chicken that you've either made yourself or bought, and the range in particular that was mentioned was Simply Chicken, then you must off you go. But, you know, same school serves hot dogs on Hot Dog Friday with a Simply Chicken Vienna in it. So it's and allows other things which some dietitians would no doubt not recommend as being the best possible nutrition, such as processed cheese wedges and highly sweetened, colored,
yogurts,
flavored little yogurts. Right.
And also, so crumb chicken can be healthier than grilled, depending how it was prepared.
Well, exactly. So, I thought, well, it's since Simply Chicken's brand has been brought in all over the story, let me go to RCL Foods, which produces Rainbow products, which Simply Chicken is part of. And I got a, I ran the whole scenario past Virginia Horsley, who's their corporate communications manager, asked her to please. And this is what she said: Simply Chicken crumb products offer convenient and nutritious lunch. The protein content is 100% chicken. No alternate protein used. It includes no added MSG and is produced in compliance with the strict processed meat regulations, including the sodium that would be sold to you and labeling regulation. In addition, the nutritional table and allergen declaration is provided on the packaging for consumer consideration. Our products are portion controlled, aiding in maintaining appropriate serving sizes and promoting healthy eating habits. So I shared all of that with the mom in question, and along with this, so I went to ASDA, which is the Association for Dietetics in South Africa, and it's the professional organization for registered dietitians in this country. And I asked for a comment, which came from registered dietitian Elska Rich. Again, I sent her all the information. I sent her pictures of the lunch boxes, which this mom was sending to school and now being told, get that chicken out or leave the school. And Elska said, when it comes to pediatric or child nutrition, it's important to expose children to food from all the food groups from a very young age. Even more important is to ensure that your child is eating enough to support their growth and development. All food groups should be consumed in moderation, and no food groups should be excluded. Children are known to start off as good eaters and then become picky eaters later on. For this reason, healthy eating habits need to be instilled at home and at school. Labeling any food or food group as bad or too unhealthy to consume at all can be very damaging for future consumption. I agree, because I'd said to, is it just me or does this school's approach seem extreme? She said, yes, I agree that the school's approach is a bit extreme. Photos of the lunch boxes prepared show that the mother has included starches, protein, fruits, and vegetables. There are very few to none highly processed foods, and the lunchbox is well balanced, taking into consideration the child consumes dairy 2 or 3 times a day from home or in the form of milk with lunch. It looks child-friendly and has a good variety when it comes to options within the food groups as well. It's colorful and well-prepared. While the school can be commended for guiding and encouraging healthy eating habit learners, home and family situations cannot be ignored, including budget time commitments of busy working. Products from Simply Chicken are acceptable, as well as crumbing your own chicken pieces and baking them or placing them in the air fryer. The guidelines provided by the Department of Basic Education are a good source, but these cannot be used to predict a child's palate or preferences. Eating according to these guidelines will provide many benefits, but the guidelines need to be implemented in a practical way with some leniency on some items. And then she said, for individualized lunchbox ideas or overall optimal child nutrition, contact a registered dietitian. And then she gave me a link, which I found easily. It's the government. You could just Google Department of Education, MyPlate. It's it's the MyPlate model. It's very easy to find recommendations, and they're pretty much along the lines of the ones that I the one I read out, sent by the school. The issue is this being absolutely dogmatic about crumb chicken not being allowed because it's not plain grilled.
Yes.
You know, and therefore considered unhealthy in a young child. And that's within dispute. And so, in fact, so verboten, that, you know, you actually have to leave the school if you insist on putting that in your child's lunchbox. So that's, that's where we sit with this issue. Really interesting one. In all my years of consumer journalism, I've never had a complaint quite like this.
I just feel is a mother on the school governing body who is just, I don't know what it is, but it's absolutely ridiculous. Do they not know how difficult it is to even get certain food into a child? Like,
you do have to wonder. I mean, and you know,
it sounds personal to me.
It does a bit, and I get. I mean, you know, I get to an extent. You know, you don't want your child going to school with a fairly nutritious lunchbox that's low on sugars that you know manages their behavior, etc. I don't want to go down that road. And then to see someone, you know, another youngster coming to school with their lunchbox full of chocolates and sweets and you know stuff that they'd find at a party, say, and then your child is like, "Mom, why have I got this?" And you know, I get that. The principle is great, but the way it's being applied in this case, it's just to be ridiculous.
Would they rather the child not have any protein at all if that's the only way the child will get protein? Is the question, because
yeah, it's perfectly good protein.
I'm so confused. I'm very, very confused. And here's a question. I mean, already there's some questions coming through. One is saying, is the school creating children with eating disorders? I'm like, good question. So what would happen? What happens next in a situation like this, Wendy?
Well, I've only, as I say, a few minutes before coming on air, did the mom share the name of the school with me. So I didn't think she was going to share it at all because, you know, she was a bit nervous, you know, that I was going to sort of storm in and, you know, call them to account. But she said you can actually put this to the school, but don't mention them on air because that might create a bigger drama. But I will be putting everything that I've, you know, the comment from RCL Foods and particularly from the association of dietitians and just say, you know, and also the double standards, you know, it's okay to do it on a Friday. I mean, why is that okay?
Yeah.
You know,
now I've got you completely.
It's completely contradictory. Yes. So we'll see. I mean, I might not name the school, but I think it certainly will be interesting to share, if they deign to respond to me, that is, to share their thoughts on the feedback that I've got and on their very, you know, strict, no exceptions kind of policy over a chicken product. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. There is a voice note with a question on this. 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. It's time for the news.
702.
Nola knows.
Wendy, Nola, I'll always say hi to you, even if you don't greet me back.
Aww. As if I wouldn't. Come on.
All right. So there is, oh, wait. 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. As we're wrapping up the first topic around lunchbox gate, somebody on Twitter just said to Mirle Bukhile, I need to know where we need to toy toy for this lunchbox because it's so serious. Like, you know, we don't know what lives people are living and what they put into this. It honestly can be very frustrating. So we received the following voice note as we've been talking about this lunchbox story where the school says, if you're not going to follow our rules, we don't want crumb chicken in the lunchbox. It must be grilled as per the guidance. Then you can leave the school. Here is a voice note.
Hi, Wendy and Rele Bukhile. Just a question. It'd be interesting to know if the mother actually signed a contract and if the contract stated specifically that she could be asked to leave or expelled or whatever if they didn't adhere to the food policy. Sam.
And that is the question I was about to ask you, Wendy. So is there a policy where it explicitly says, because again, the word policy is so vague. When you sign a contract, whether you're signing as an employer or to go and be a tenant somewhere, and they say you must follow our policies, but they can't just randomly put policies, or am I wrong there?
Well, I possibly should have interrogated this a bit more.
Yeah.
But what she said was that when she took it to the governing body level, they said that they've decided among themselves that they will not tolerate any exceptions or deviations whatsoever. And that by registering, I'm reading directly from your email now, by registering with the school, and I take that to mean she obviously signed a contract. You always have to sign a contract. I accepted this policy, and if I am unhappy with it and cannot comply, I must move my kids.
Mm.
It sounds to me, and I can get confirmation, but I'm pretty sure that the policy says, oh my God, I agree, I've read this policy and I agree, whatever. I don't think such a document would have said, failing which I will be asked to leave the school. I doubt that. I think that's just become the consequence of her standing her ground over the over the crumbs chicken products, some of which she makes herself.
Mm.
You can't call that processed. I think it's just this whole hysteria over the word processed that's overused. Meanwhile, a cheese wedge, you know, a little triangle in it and some foil is a highly processed product. Mm. So are those sweet little yogurts. And what? So, but we'll serve this exact product in our school on a Friday.
Mm.
It's madness. It really is. And I just thought it was worth airing in case any other such madness exists out there. My children are in their mid-20s now. Maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe things have got quite quite a dogmatic and sort of, you know, like maybe this has become like, you know, as silly as some hair policies in schools. You know, we will, I don't know. I'm hoping some of our listeners will shed some light on the issue.
Looking forward to getting more feedback on that one. Before we jump into our next topic, the lines are open for your non-Lunchbox Gate questions. 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. When we come back, we are going to talk about vouchers. Vouchers that have been gifted, what the rules are around those.
702.
Nola Knows.
We're with Wendy Nola on Nola Knows, our consumer rights feature. We take your calls on 011-883-0702 in the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. There's a message on the WhatsApp line that says, good day, Wendy and Rilebogile. I will greet you twice. If still quiet the third time around, I will never. Crossing their fingers, so they will not. All right, Wendy, before we open up the lines, let's quickly talk about this topic of the prepaid gift vouchers and what some of the issues are and what the rules are around things like expiry dates.
Okay, I've got a lot of prep around this. We could have done a whole show, but I'm going to simplify it. I have two case studies, but I'm going to really simplify it. They are, this does not apply to a gift voucher or voucher that you get as a prize. Radio stations, for example, often will give out vouchers as a prize. You haven't paid for it, so it doesn't, the Act doesn't cover it. And also if you get some kind of voucher as a part of a loyalty program, right? We're talking about prepaid vouchers. So someone goes to a beauty spa and gives you a voucher. Now, the Act says Section 63 of the Consumer Protection Act, if anybody wants to look it up, it essentially says that they've got to be valid for 3 years and that you're entitled to redeem them in full. Okay. And they, what happened as a direct result of that is that a lot of beauty spas then and other businesses that provide services, right, or experiences, then made it value. Because then if you redeem it in year three, you get less service.
Yes.
A product for your 1,500 rand, as opposed to saying it's a back rub, a back massage, and then their prices go up, but in year three, they've still got to give you the massage for the price that paid for it 3 years before.
Yes.
Some will say, well, they've got interest on that money all that time. They got fully paid for something and they didn't deliver for nearly 3 years. So it's a tricky one. But a lot of these kinds of service providers then decided it would be more in their interest to make it a monetary value only as rather than specifying a service, which is fine. Okay.
Yes.
So it's nothing against that. But there are three things that you've got to watch out for, three things that businesses do wrong on purpose or because they just don't know any better and they really should. The one is they're still making these vouchers valid for only 6 months or 12 months or something like that. It's got to be 3 years. Number two, they'll insert all kinds of terms and conditions. You can't redeem this voucher on a promotional offer. So if they're having promotion, you see a WhatsApp, oh, you can get a facial for 25% off, and you go and present your voucher and they say, no, sorry, that's as good as money. And they've had it in advance. Mm. So don't get up, get beyond yourself. You can't introduce that. Even if you want to buy a product, they've had money. You're selling product.
Yes.
You know, if the voucher's made out to a monetary amount, you can't say, you can't buy product. If it's a back voucher thing, you can't say, no, I don't want the back voucher. I'll rather take product. That's different. But if it's a monetary amount, they can't tell you, this is now on a sale, or you can't buy this or that. And the third thing, which is for me the most worrying, is that they'll say, yes, this is valid for 3 years. But in the small print, you know, section 11 on the website that's not, no attention is brought to, they'll say, if they're providing a service, right, the voucher says it's for a whatever experience. And they'll say, if you redeem this after a year, you can still redeem it. It's still valid for 3 years, but you have to pay in if the service has gone up in price. And that is absolutely not okay. So I had a case study.
Can I ask a question just for clarity? Yes. Do these gift vouchers apply to places like Daddy's Deals and Hyper Lee and things like that?
Okay. That is a very good question. And when these kind of very when these things started coming out, Groupon was the first, remember?
Yes, yes.
I took it up with the then National Consumer Commissioner. And I think what she said is fair. She said this is somewhere between a discount and a voucher, a prepaid voucher. So, for example, if you selling a voucher for a steak at a particular restaurant, right? Mm. They're trying to get foot traffic. It's unfair to make that valid for 3 years because, yes. I mean, that steak's gonna. So, what they said is, as a good compromise, is those things will typically be a 3 month validity thing.
Yes.
If you've paid your money to them. If you don't use that service within 3 months, you could go back to them, and that the value that you paid for it will then be valid for 3 years from the date you bought it, and then you could get something else, which I think is fair enough.
Yes,
so that's like a hybrid thing,
yes.
But a good question. Yeah, so I had some luck. Just one case study quickly. Candace Tennyson, she lives in Cape Town. Her friends clubbed together and bought her a voucher from Life Day Spa. Now, that group is predominantly in Gauteng, and they have a couple of spas in Cape Town. It wasn't for a particular service or treatment. It was for 1,500 Rand. That was January 2023. The validity date was fine, 3 years valid. But when she tried to redeem that voucher towards the end of last year, so it was 9 months in, they said no. She wanted to go for some special promo on a whatever, and they said no, and they wouldn't back down, and she was just going to leave it. And her mom said no, take it up with Wendy, and I did. I took it up with the company, and in response, the manager of the branch in question, which was Century City, got back to me to say this was one of our T's and C's as a business. However, we have changed this after our marketing team discussed it with the necessary parties. Clients can now use our vouchers on treatments, promotions, and the purchasing of products. She was silent on the fact that they also had a clause that said if the price has gone up, you have to pay in. And yes. I'm hoping that's changed as well. And if it hasn't, let me know, because that is really not on. We need to get everybody in complying with how these vouchers must work. They get the money up front, and they know that many people won't redeem. So it's money for nothing in many cases. Then those that do redeem, they must honor in the legal way.
All right, let's quickly go to the lines. We've got John from Pretoria, who's got some legal advice on the lunchbox issue. John, you're a lawyer.
Yes, hi, Rukhili and Wendy. I just wanted to say, you know, as a lawyer, my understanding is the school said if you don't pack what we say, you must leave the school. And whether it's a public school or a private school, even more so if it's a public school, but even a private school, which has a bit more right to say it's our way or the highway. But either way, they would never have that right. At the end of the day, it's just a matter of what's in a lunchbox. So I wouldn't want to encourage parents to be difficult, because you understand what the school is trying to do.
Mm.
But the school, from its own point of view, has to be reasonable as well. Mm. Ultimately, as a parent, you can pack what you want. for your child. If you want to pack sweets, they can't expel your kid because you want to pack sweets. I don't encourage you to do that, but if you want to. You know, let's take an example. Let's say you pack live worms for little Johnny. Now, that would be different, not because of little Johnny's interest, but because the other kids on the playground would be disturbed by seeing him put live worms in his mouth. Mm. That's really what it comes down to. There's a limit to what a school's powers over parents and children, and this is beyond that limit.
And I think, John, one of the things I was thinking about is, you know, would they not be possibly liable in a lawsuit? Because if now you are kicking a child out of school and let's say there is no other school that is accessible to them, you are denying them their constitutional right to education.
Well, look, I'll put it more straightforwardly. If they were to expel the child because of that chicken in the lunchbox, even if there are places at schools right next door, they're not entitled to do it. That's just beyond their powers. Okay. It's just unreasonable.
I would have thought so for a state school, John, but my feeling was it's a private school and they put it in their thing. And you're saying even so, it's not a private school.
There's just a limit to what a school's powers are.
Yeah.
So a private school that says that in your free time, you must pray seven times a day. Well, if it's a private school of a particular religion which prays seven times a day, that would be different. But if it's just a private school and they want to intrude so far into your private life, they're not entitled to do it.
I mean, the lunchbox situation is not even infringing on the rights of anybody. It's not like the child is doing something that is harmful to anybody else. So I'm inclined to go with what you were saying, John. And I hope, Wendy, we do follow up on that story, because it is of particular interest to many parents, but also speaks to the bigger issue of what schools are allowed to do. And maybe then we see if there's somebody from the Department of Education that can join us in that conversation to say, you know, what power do schools have in dictating what parents need to be doing for their children?
Good one, and definitely to be continued, yes.
That's all we have time for. Everybody else, we're taking your details that didn't get an opportunity to chat to Wendy. Wendy, have a fantastic Easter weekend. We'll be back next time.
And you.